Yeah, I'm Joe Smentek. I'm the executive director for the Minnesota Soybean Growers Association. I have a JD from Hamlin in St. Paul here, and then I did an LLM in environmental law, a little extra degree in law from University out in White Plains, New York.
It's been 1 week since the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals deemed the use of dicamba, at least three dicamba products in the U.S., illegal. A lot has happened since then. Where are we at now?
That's a very good question. I think we are still trying to figure that out. The court order went ahead and vacated the registrations of those three products, as you mentioned, but which is really kind of a different type of order than we normally see in these cases. The Federal Insecticide, Rodenticide, Fungicide Act, FIFRA, really has a lot of different provisions. So usually when we see a court vacate something like this, they go ahead and cite the other provisions that we can, you know, farmers could use up stocks that they had on hand and how that all would lay out. Here they didn't, so really needed to look at EPA for some guidance on that and the state for some guidance on that.
Then we understand that this announcement, the cancellation order, is a legal move. So can you tell us why EPA would choose to go this route?
That I cannot tell you why they decided to go this route, rather than why they didn't just ask for a rehearing or try to go for an appeal of this order. This route makes it look like, you know, I think it might be something that they did to try to clarify that this product could be used, since the court order was kind of unprecedented in saying that all use had to basically stop immediately as of that court order.
What's expected to be next?
That's a really good question, and I think that's really what drove the Department of Agriculture in the state to do what they did. There's still a lot of options. We could see the court go to EPA and say, look, we didn't want you to cancel it. We wanted you to immediately vacate it, and so we don't like your cancellation order. They could go along with the cancellation order. So there's a lot of moving parts there on the federal level, which why it was important for our growers to find a mechanism in state law to kind of pull Minnesota growers out of that wrangling and what the court, the whims and wills of the court's decision, and really just give them certainty that in Minnesota, based on a Minnesota law, our farmers know that they can spray it until June 20th.
And that hasn't changed. Minnesota Department of Agriculture issued that announcement. It was a reversal from what they had initially said, and nothing changed from that announcement, right? Just to clarify, on Monday.
Correct. The Department of Agriculture initially, you know, looked at it, said, since we don't have a registered product, some of these other mechanisms states were using, there's a provision under FIFRA 24C that was mentioned and another one, Section 18s that were mentioned. They looked at those and they said, well, it doesn't really apply since you still need a registered product. And the court's order basically vacated those registrations, so we didn't have a registered product. So that would put the farmers in a real sense of kind of limbo, in a kind of a no man's land. There may be some regulatory blowback. That's why they found the solution in state law, so that we have certainty. And that position really has not changed now since yesterday afternoon.
The court's action from last week, that was on the current registration, and I think that went through, was it 2018 through 2020, right? And now,
correct.
There's talk of a 2021 registration. Is that possible to have that?
Yes, definitely. The companies could reapply for registration. You know, the court did cite that they thought some of the information was lacking. They cited that EPA kind of ignored some of the risks involved with some of the use of the product. They actually cited Minnesota as one of the reasons why they decided that. They could start this whole process over. They could put these registrations back in for, you know, slightly different formulations. I think the companies have done a really good job of monitoring the product and the drift, and you know, they don't want it to drift. So making slight corrections here and there to reduce the volatility and to add some stabilizers in there. So a new chemical could be registered under similar names, and we could move forward from that. And that's hopefully what we'll see here is These are important tools for our farmers, and we'd hate to lose them out of the toolbox.
In the short term, farmers can still use dicamba if they have it already purchased. But what happens to the dicamba in the retail pipeline, the stuff that can't get sold?
That is that's a great question. And the EPA's guidance on that is a little sketchy right now. The order that they put out kind of said that it could be sold and that it can't be sold. And the only thing we know for sure is that the primary registrants, the companies directly, can't sell anymore. So if you're a local co-op, it sounds like you'll still be able to sell what you had on hand, but probably not be able to order any more from one of the registrants. So we're still trying to puzzle through that and how that chain affects. And we'll definitely have some issues here with chemical collections, the hazardous chemical collections from agricultural entities was canceled this spring because of the COVID. So we've been talking with the Department of Ag on how they're going to handle, once a farmer does spray the dicamba that they have of these three chemicals, how are we going to get those to a collection site so that our farmers aren't in violation of the transportation bans on it and they can be disposed of safely?
But I guess right now we're more focused on farmers being able to actually use the product.
Yes, absolutely. That's been the main focus, is making sure that people that had it, the co-ops that had it on hand with customers asking for it, are able to get it out onto their fields right now before that June 20th cutoff date. Really, this couldn't have come at a worse time as far as that comes. We did lose a few days, and the Growers Association will be formally asking the Department of Agriculture to add some of those days back on because of that loss of time, really through no fault of the farmers.
Well, the Ag Department's been pretty strict about that in the past, because I think in previous years there was hope that the department would allow up to a June 30th application deadline. So is that essentially what the soybean growers will be asking for too?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be looking, the federal label says 45 days from planting. And so obviously we'll ask all our farmers to abide by that. We had a lot more planted earlier this year than in the last few years. And they have been pretty strict with that. I think with good stewardship of the chemical, they have taken those hard decisions. But if we don't ask, we know the answer.
Longer term, what does EPA's recent action mean for the fate of dicamba?
Hopefully not the end of dicamba. I think this has been a really good tool for our farmers. I think that we have seen, especially in Minnesota with the cutoff date and going from a couple hundred complaints down to very few complaints about drift and those types of things, that it can be used in a safe and effective manner. So hopefully we'll see some registrants come back, some new registrations, and that we'll be able to keep using this tool for those resistant weeds that we have out in our fields.
Do you all expect to hear more from the EPA on clarification, or do you think they've said all they're going to say at this time?
We've been asking for more clarification. I unfortunately think we've got what we're going to get.
What farmers need to do if they're planting for a certain trait for seed for next year that is in relation to dicamba?
We have not heard from the corporations yet what their plans are going forward. I still hope that they will re-register these products and that those traits are valuable as still. Obviously, we've shown, like I stated, that this chemical can work and it can work well. So I hope that those traits are still valuable and that the farmers will continue to see those premiums to grow those, especially for seed beans.
Joe, did we miss anything? Is there anything else you'd like to say?
I don't think about dicamba. I think, the one thing I would add is that it will be a fluid situation here. The groups that sued EPA initially are very active and have very active chapters in Minnesota as well. And so I don't think we've seen the end of the courts meddling, I guess, for lack of a better word, on this issue. I'm sure they'll have more to say coming up here. And so we'll keep trying to stay on top of it and update our members and farmers in Minnesota as best we can.